I'm glad you're still here. The excitement of the perspective that you would allow me as identified as some sort of a master teacher. I'm obviously teaching from my own revelation. I'm wholly certain there is no world. This is, of course, the scripture of Jesus. But it also requires your own undergoing of an experience that can show you that that's true. Okay, listen. This is through our Course in Miracles. This is the time and place where you have simply decided to let it be true. It was going to be true anyway that there is no death. It was going to be true no matter how long it took you, okay, to discover it, that this is not what life is, that all of the pertainments of this scripture were directed only to you in this continuum of time to remind you, are you listening, that this world was over a long time ago. This whole world, as we put on the last hour, was God winking. I'm not certain that the last hour will be on the particulars of what I'm saying to you now. There were in that idea of Corinthians and the idea of Acts all of the justification for the ordeal that you're going to experience when you go out into the world and attempt to testify to what's occurring with you through your acts of giving. How important were your acts of service to those who were in pain? How much did you attempt in carrying this scripture of divine love to the world to show the world the empathy that you felt in trying to relieve their burden? And how finally you had a moment of your own devastation? How finally you had a moment of your own Gethsemane? Expressed in some of our scriptures as the dark night of the soul. There you were with all of the answers. You ended up with, my Lord, why hast thou forsaken me? Suddenly there it is. Suddenly, are you listening? It's over. I'm within your parameter of consciousness at this time and place, telling you very simply that your time is up. ask me. Yeah. You know who's been standing with you and walking with you since you decided to pursue an alternative not of this world? Our Savior, Jesus Christ, as He represents Himself. The more you attempted to take the message out into the world, the more you were attacked and denied. And this is why we've been reading to you a little bit about Acts, and may continue now in the New Testament with the dilemma that is as current today in the teachings of the New Testament as it was 2,000 years ago. Because the only thing you could possibly have had to come to know within the particulars of your own determination of self-consciousness was the certainty that contained in you was an inherent possibility of expanding the consciousness of your separate association individually, not connected to the world, in which you would depart this idea of pain and death, as it happened right there and is happening now. You particularly, that were just healed of cancer, which you thought was cancer, there's no more need for you to undergo that. Jesus has been with you telling you this. The problem you've had is releasing yourself from the attack and defense modes of your conceptual self. God's voice has spoken to you since the beginning of time. And through this message, you can hear it now. Where before there was so much static in your own conceptual minds in your verification of death that you couldn't hear it. But that time has passed away. So we've been through the experience of His crucifixion. Let's bring it up to today. And suddenly He's going to be present with us. Listen. Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. That's the first thing. It's a lovely little book being offered by our church, the Course in Miracles International. Jesus is praying. It's everything you could ever want to know about the associations of our Savior present with us now. That quote, of course, was Jesus suddenly occurring with the disciples after every one of them had seen that He was crucified and that His body physically had been laid in the grave. And suddenly here He is. Listen. It's important that you see He's not connected to death. He's not connected to the idea that somehow, as many of you believe, His spirit rose up into the heavens and that His body remained corrupt, to turn to dust. If at no single moment His body is real, what difference would it make whether it's what you think is alive or dead? Okay, you are not made of dust, but must include the idea of the physicality of your body in with the resurrection. The manner in which we teach this through the scripture is very simply that Jesus has never left you. He will abide with you and is abiding until you complete your own ordeal of resurrection. The reports coming in right there because of this message that I have been instructed by Jesus to offer you, all right, have now been heard and are being heard, and you intend to assume your rightful place through His resurrection of a declaration of your own enlightenment. They can now be carried out into the world, can't they? Mm-hmm. The vehicle of communication, the experience that you just had with me right there, all right, in this physical appearance, okay, in association with each other, in these moments of forgiveness, okay, will show you a whole new world. A world in another continuum of time that converts your idea that your brother out there is the villain, the evil one, the one that's causing you the pain. Rather than accepting the simple statement of Jesus, when he said to you, no, you're inflicting this pain on yourself by believing that your brother is separate from you. When he suffers, so do you. When he's joyous, hopefully you are too. But joy comes from self-realization that can then be shared in the realization of a single self. Practice. Give your love away. In that manner, you can be certain it can never be lost. Shall I tell you why? It doesn't have anywhere to go. Love, the light of love, is all around you where you share the particulars of your determination in this evidence of a black hole, in the justification for Gethsemane. Every human condition has had moments of Gethsemane from which they apparently recover but retain the idea that they have overcome the single devastation that is necessary for them to leave this continuum. The time has come and is now when you will acknowledge through your own resurrection, through your own awakening, the certainty of love and life that we offer each other based on this scripture. Are you the Holy Son of God Himself? Are you going to wake up from this dream now? Is this the first of your 3 days? Listen to me. In this message from Jesus, why else are you listening to this scripture? Why else are you allowing the attention of this old conceptual idea of body form that you have represent to you the certainty of your own perfection? Unless it's true. Of course you deny it. The whole basis of Acts through the resurrection of Jesus, when the disciples attempt to go out into the world, the matrix of energy that corresponds to non-creative light, which is impossible. It's the same idea as there's a potential of ideas that hasn't been fulfilled and is justified by the idea of separation. It's not true. Will you make one declaration with me in a prayer? From the course of the miracle of the discovery of your true reality, with the certainty that you can now expand out into the universe and that we can share together the moment of devastation. You've allowed yourself to come into that parameter. Okay. You said to yourself very simply, in the message of Jesus, I have come into the garden with him. I will momentarily undergo the devastation of my mind in the certainty that in his message, he promised me that he would stay with me as I completed my own ordeal. And I trust him. And I want you to trust me through my certainty of his presence. I know that this is from Paul. Paul and I shared how the Greeks, along with the Romans, and certainly anyone else who's going to represent the idea of the ridiculously little correspondence of communication within light that go on with a human being, it would be impossible for them to hear this message. or to even in some sort of emphatic demonstration of themselves, allow it to be true. Are you listening? Because if this message is true, and I assure you that it is, it cannot not represent the futility that you have felt as a human being in your efforts to demonstrate the idea of love as we're feeling for each other with suffering and loss that can be at this moment no longer evident to you as you rise above into this new continuum of time. Our Savior Jesus is with us, and He will abide with us at this moment. Okay? Listen with me. Okay? I'm attempting to show you access to a light alternative that's been very deep within you since you came into this continuum. You ready? It's impossible you will not hear it at this time. Let's look together at how really you're looking at the devastation of this world. When I came in this morning, I turned on your television, and the extent of the increase of the passion of fear was so evident to me that this is from Jesus. He says, maybe it's time for us to show them that the light is available at the moment where the devastation seems to be the greatest, and that we can share it together, and that all of the scriptures that we had in this testament of Jesus, in this Holy Bible, in the declarations of the ordeal of His own resurrection, in His temptation to remain a human being and justify death, okay, are proof to you that revelation, that reassociation of light is possible for you. And that's what we're sharing together. In your science of mind, and in the beautiful art of your recognition of each other. Here's a lovely message that I have shared with Jesus for a very long time. Father, I thank you for today and for the freedom I am certain it will bring. This day is holy, for today your Son will be redeemed. His suffering is done, for he will hear your voice directing him to find Christ's vision through forgiveness and be free forever from all suffering. Thanks for today, my Father. I was born into this world but to achieve this day right here and now, and what it holds in joy and freedom for your Holy Son and for the world He made, which is released along with Him today. It's an expression of freedom in a prayer contained within the divine scripture of this Course in Miracles. The little music that was playing in the background has a lyric to it. It's one that everyone who has ever pertained or proclaimed himself to be a Christian is aware of. And my entire message to you from today on this day is, if you're not into Gethsemane yet, get into it so we can begin to share the resolution that's going to occur in this 3-day factor of time that could represent up to 10,000 years. By speeding up our associations of a declaration, we've had enough of this. That lyric sounds like this. I come to the garden alone. While the dew is still on the roses, the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. He speaks. And the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing. And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. I'd stay in the garden with him, though the night around me be falling, but he bids me go through the voice of woe. His voice to me is calling. We're leaving the garden. Now he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy that we share as we tarried there, none other has ever known. Thank you for affording me the privilege of representing my certainty of the resurrection of Jesus Christ of Nazareth to you at this time. We have been in the garden together, and we've shared the overcoming of the woe through his representation. We have one final idea that must be performed in this space-time through his direction. Remember in the scripture what Jesus says, he has chosen you through your sharing of his woe. Who was it that relieved the burden that Jesus experienced in the garden and helped him see the certainty of his love for God in you? Say to me, it was me. The entire message of my Savior Jesus is that we must share together any faltering that occurs in carrying his message, because the ordeal of being reborn through a reconstitution of the continuity of time cannot not be but an ordeal of a declaration of our certainty that through his resurrection we love one another. What does it have to do with the world? Say to me, nothing. No. The problem that Paul had in Acts, and the problem that you as an apostle of Jesus are experiencing, is that in a very fundamental way, it doesn't have anything to do with the world, which is what the human consciousness is. The practice of his miracle procedure offers you on a moment-by-moment basis, through prayer, a complete re-identification of your time. And along with that new idea of time, or the shortening of the distance between the procedure of your old relationships and your projected meaningless new ones that lead you nowhere, will be a revelatory re-identity of yourself in space. The continuity of time that represents the Old Testament, or the idea of pain and death that justified your coming here, undergoing attempts to find the solution and being annihilated, are over through his resurrection. The demonstration I'm offering you in the message of coming into the garden right now, like we're going to do in about 3 minutes here, will show you a complete joyous relief from the idea that you need to suffer or in any way justify this world. Because in your denial of the world will be where the resurrection occurs. Yes, you are the Holy Son of God. And yes, you have been dreaming. And your nightmare has reached the point within your own correspondence where you said, I've had enough. Say to me, I've had enough. Now, the joy you're experiencing with the old man, master teacher, is that you have been in service. And the service that you have been in is to enter into the Gethsemane and offer the relief from pain. And you've been disappointed in the end, very simply because it didn't appear to be successful within the range of consciousness that justified this continuum. The entire basis of the resurrection is to show you another continuum of time that is going on simultaneously with this one through the resurrection of any single mind. The idea that the so-called species of man, Homo sapien, whatever you think that is, actually it's just a correspondence with eternal life and the idea of separation in the consciousness of each individual. So the responsibility you've accepted from Jesus is to stand up and make that declaration. Why? You ready? All power is given unto you in earth and heaven. Does Jesus say that to you? Do you believe it? Why not use that power, not based on your ideas of pain and death and justification for attack with the grievances you hold against each other, and simply admit that God is love? God is love, and therefore so am I. Say it to me. I know you are. I know you. Through Jesus, we know each other as love rather than the dead ones that appear to surround us. Remember, you have been chosen to perform this act. Ordained. Have you been ordained to carry the message? I'll be back in just a moment because you're beginning to aggregate. And after spending 2,000 years here, I wouldn't want to miss it. Remember, God goes with us wherever we go, because God is the mind with which we think. Here he is now. Let's say it together. God bless us, each and every one. Good to see you again. What a gathering. Where you been? Back for the final 27 minutes, if you can stay with me that long. There's so much joy going on. Remember, when you read ostensibly what's 2,000-year-old scripture, our information that the immediacy of its availability obviously is not 2,000 years ago, was written for you, especially for you this morning. And if I were to read you Corinthians, which is an extant physical copy, perhaps, of a letter that Paul actually wrote, okay, following the resurrection of Jesus, it will be precisely and exactly the same message that you attempt to take out into the world. And you will be attacked and you will be berated, all right? Listen, the solution that you have found with me, that you're sharing with your brother, with that association there, okay, occurs at the point of devastation. Watch me. Oh, how may I help you? I see that you're undergoing a lot of pain, and I see that it's justified in your mind that you need to suffer. and that you need to justify the idea of self-consciousness contained within this parameter of time. Trust me with this. I'm going to share with you a miracle of rebirth. I'm going to show you through this divine scripture that it's possible for you, having practiced the idea that there's a Christhood within you, that that emergence will be at this space and at this time. I need some fundamental requirements for you now in the scripture. Will you share with me? You've been carrying this message for almost 2,000 years. Relative to the idea of the length of time of the universe, of the expanding universe, which is, I understand, 13,000 million years. Here in this idea, you're escaping from the black hole. Okay, using this scripture, I'm informed that you've been contained in slow time that expands and accelerates to the time when time here will not pass, that in the impactness of the entirety of the universe will be the entirety of the solution. Now, I'm not concerned about how you hear that message, because certainly this teaching of the black hole is precisely and exactly the same as the teaching that you've entered into a place where there isn't any solution. And instead of seeking a solution where there is none, you have allowed for the penetration of light into a complete new association in space-time that is where you are presently located. Listening to me? This from Jesus. The only place in time you can ever be located is exactly where you are right now. And Paul, in his scripture, is going to say to you, you have been a natural man. You have been a man beset by body associations. What do we say? Hydrogen and carbon and oxygen. There's a nitrogen cloud surrounding your body. Okay? Not my body. I'm only going to be here 3 days. I came here this morning. I'll be here tomorrow, and I'm going to resurrect the next day. Well, you want to share that with me? You listen to me. I promise you this is true. First of all, I think I'll perform a little act of letting you reassociate with your mind that you're not a body. Watch me. Trust me here. I'm trying to heal you, but I can't heal you if you stay specific with the idea that your body can be sick. I'm converting your natural body to a light form of recognition of an intensity of power that makes your pitiful attempts to identify with the limitations of your consciousness, the idea that you are a body, you begin to laugh at it. And of course, that's what Paul says in Corinthians. He says, stop comparing yourself as a natural man and understand the necessity for the transfiguration that will occur in your body form at the time of your resurrection. Okay. These are letters that he wrote last week. What he says in Corinthians is precisely and exactly the dilemma that you continue to suffer from in your establishment, or the idea that you can teach the resurrection and rebirth demonstrated by Jesus Christ within this continuum of time, because it's impossible, and that's what the scripture says. I'll read you just a little bit of Corinthians. I promised Jesus and Paul and Peter and all of the Christian martyrs that for 2,000 years have been tortured and killed by this world, not individually, but in the aggregation of the determination of the dead ones not to accept this message. Those of you who ostensibly were Christian scholars, I want you to look at the simplicity of my offering. And and you will immediately confirm to me that this is what the scripture says. We need to make another step at this time, based on my certainty as a teacher of a method of enlightenment that is possible through his mind, that can now represent both his New Testament and the contemporary scripture of the recognition through love and forgiveness that we are whole and perfect as we were created. Say to me, I'm whole and perfect as I was created. I'm going to stand up and tell you. Let's see where I'm going with this. I'm the old man. I'm whole and perfect as I was created. I'm not from here. I'm from heaven. I've come to assure you that you're also from heaven, and it's contained within your own memory. How else would I be here telling you that? You say to me, that sounds like the scripture of Jesus Christ. It is the scripture of Jesus Christ. His contemporary appearance at this space and time is only to tell you that you're not from here. And if you believe that you were from here in this containment, are you listening? Your time is up. Not through death, not through identifying your brother as being lonely and dying, but in your resurrection based on this scripture. Let's look real quickly about how Paul tries to express it. Corinthians chapter 15, moreover, brother, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. You already know all about this. He's very certain of that because he's carrying the word, excuse me, I'll get into this. He's carrying the word of the scripture. Look at it as though it were written last week. And use anybody's name that you want who has recognized the idea through his own devastating Damascus experience. Listen. By which also ye are saved, for ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scripture, and that he was seen by virtually everyone within the containment of the association. And then after that he was seen of about 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present time, but some are fallen asleep. Listen, not dead, but fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time, because I'm representing to you the determination of the completion of the devastation, not based on those that knew him in body, but those who knew him in body resurrected. Because in my act of devastation, I came to know him not as a spiritual body, but as a physical body being represented by his apostles. Can you see that with me? Listen. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, whom was with me. What he simply says when he says, I am what I am, I didn't get this by my own procedure, because I was determined not to believe it. And in the passion of my determination to deny the possibility of it, occurred the passion of my own resurrection. In my individual passion as a former human being, my passion to share pain and death with my brother, my passion to carry the message of my country, my determination to serve with the recognition that the greatest act I could perform for my brother was to die for him. That passion, okay, through a determination of the unsolvability of the problem, is converted to an instant that I offer you at this time based on this scripture. This is the description of it. Listen. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach and so we believed. Now, listen, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also meaningless. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God by pretending to believe it, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead raise not. You're going to have to look at the idea of denying the fundamental teachings of Jesus at this time. Paul, who is representing your apostleship when you decide to stand up and declare it, will make the very simple admission that as he has instructed you, when he rose, you rose with him. And he is in your memory, if you forget for a moment, to recognize that he has been with you to perform a continuing act of resurrection. Like he did just then. You know the joy that Jesus and Paul and the apostles are sharing? They call me the old man. I'm sort of a later day prophecy fulfilled. I assume the obligation of carrying the mind training of the miracle of the demonstration of the healing of each other. Here, I'll do that for you. Go and sin no more. You are perfect. We are sharing our minds together. Your body was incidentally healed. I do all my healing incidentally. It's inevitable you're not whole and perfect as you were created in our minds. Your healing didn't have anything to do with your body. This is what this is going to say. It had nothing to do with your body at all. It had to do with your simple admission of your own Christhood based on his resurrection. If that is certain, according to this scripture, it's impossible that you be sick and lonely and dead because he is risen. Listen. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God because we've testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Okay? Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished because they remembered for a moment and have fallen asleep. All of the sleeping ones are the ones who are currently in this continuum. The so-called dead ones are the ones who are recognized as dead by the sleeping ones. Is that clear to you? So much of the scripture of Jesus will say you've fallen asleep. Remember in Genesis where it says Adam fell into a deep sleep? Nowhere does it say that he's awake. Yet Adam, the man, is present with us now, even though he may still doze. But contained within his idea of sleeping, in the immediacy of this time frame, will be the idea of those who will die or have died before, in the denial that in his dream is also the complete resolution. What's the teaching? You're the dreamer of the dream. Look with me. It's impossible if I'm offering this to you in the physicalness of your own body that I have not entered into your dream at your instructions to remind you that he is risen through this scripture. Listen. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. Why? If they admit to death, they're also dead. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. I'm sorry, dear ones, but the idea that you can solve the problem with other dead ones is going to make you increasingly miserable. And when we look at each other through our own revelation based on this scripture, we say, why do you want to be so miserable? Why not make the simple admission of the necessity for your own rebirth? Is it an ordeal? Well, of course it's an ordeal. But your ordeal to die cannot not contain your idea of eternal life based on the resurrection that has already occurred and is in the continuity of time thought that represents your individual mind based on the light that you brought with you by his instructions when you returned a moment to share this message this morning, in which you will be here tomorrow. And on the third day, your sojourn into time will be over. And Paul, okay, who has come into this parameter, will be with you and will welcome you on the other side. Listen. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Listen, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. Listen, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. You want to hear this with me? My whole teaching to you is you're the cause of your own death. If through man came death, also through man comes life. Now perhaps you can see why this consortium of time can't hear it. Because this, as natural man, is a dedication to death. From the scripture of the Course. Swear not to die, you natural man. You made a bargain you can't keep. Your associations with the dead ones will not avail you in your determination to believe that you're actually that body, and that active with you at this moment is not the continuation of the resurrection. Through this scripture from Paul, who is determined that there's an action of your mind individually that will show you the truth of this message. Very quickly, just a few more sentences. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. We're all going to be going home together. Listen, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And why stand we in jeopardy every hour? Listen, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, that I die daily. I protest to you your determination to be offended by my simple message, that this is the time and place you have chosen to awaken from the dead through a demonstration of your determination to no longer find correspondence to your addiction to the idea of body form, but to renounce death in the renunciation of this continuum of time in all of its associations. I have two more sentences that I have to read you. Listen. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame because of your unwillingness to teach it. But some men will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? And if I had time, I would explain to you in the scripture that what Paul says, and that what I say to you in my recognition of my own revelation, that the body that you will come in is the body that you now occupy. It's not going to be another spiritual body that you have somehow perfected in your mind about the idea that there are separate bodies in your self-identity. Look with me. Will you look with me at this? As a risen master teacher, I only see the Christ in you. This is from the scripture. My concern about how the world looks at your body in order that you attempt to improve in the dark form that represents your constitution of physicality concerned me not in the slightest. I learned very early in my life as a human being the old saying, don't judge the book by its cover. Don't judge this book by the cover that someone's going to tell you it's Holy Scripture. Rather, look within the teachings of Jesus. Perhaps you'll want to disconnect the Old Testament from the New. If you hold on to the Old Testament, hold on to it with the certainty that the dedication to assemble and the idea to set laws for man of justice and wholeness could not contain the wholeness of the representation of ourselves, leaving this continuum of time. And indeed, that's the practice that we intend to do, isn't it? And that's the practice that can show us the immediacy of the scripture of the apostles, with the direction as occurs in Acts and through Luke's writing, that the world indeed is going to attack us. Because self-recognition is not world recognition. Self-recognition is an express certainty that at this moment we share together the light and life of eternity through the risen mind and body of Jesus Christ. Yes, the body that will resurrect is the body that you're occupying at this moment. I wish I had another 10 minutes. See, you dear ones, Jesus has really got me going out into this world. When you begin to feel the need to carry this message, it will be pervasive in you to the point where you don't have to be concerned about serving God or mammon, because your service to God will be the joy of the intensity that you have found the solution within this continuum. You remember that through this scripture and his certain resurrection, that God goes with us wherever we go, because God is the power of love we're expressing for each other. Say it with me, will you? God bless us. Everyone, listen to that music. Just as I am, I come to you, Lord. Come just as you are with this body. Stop trying to change the physicality of yourself. We're using the power of the love of our minds in the certainty of the immediacy of this occurrence. I'll be with you till it's over. But your time is very short. Remember, in today, here tomorrow, and gone. Oh.
judgments in.
Surly, is that good?
Not good or bad.
They don't waste any time. They must need the hotel space. So, what do you think of our fair city? We do a pretty good job here.
I was at an Italian restaurant.
What does it say? You're going back. Can I say something? Just because they're sending you back, that doesn't mean that they're right. They can make a mistake. You shouldn't let others get to you like this. Just follow what's in here. Come on. I'll take you to the station.
Tram 7 and 8 to onward destinations.
This is something. I'll never get over it. The organization is amazing. All these different trams going to all these different places.
All tunnels now operational.
These are yours. Your boarding card, your various ID pieces, all the things you're going to need. Now, you're not going to remember any of this, so don't worry. You're not going to kick yourself forever. Just take the opportunities when they come, okay?
Passengers going back to Earth, please board trams on your left. Passengers moving onward, board trams on your right.
Well, this is it. Good luck, kid. I got a lot of faith in you.
I can take that here, sir. Here you go. You keep those and follow the yellow line.
All trams now operational.
I'll take this, sir.
Tram 7 and to onward destination. Final boarding, please.
Right here, sir.
All personnel, please prepare for departure.
Let him go.